So today we will be talking to Tori B from Tori B Studios. Hi. I want to first thank you, Tori, for coming in and taking the time out of your day for this. How have you been?
Oh my gosh, great. The sun's out, you know. It's my Monday, feeling fresh, showered. It's been a great start.
Showering is always good. So we're going to just ask you some industry-inspiring questions that maybe will help somebody that is looking to be in the solo practice in their career.
Yeah.
So how did you start in the industry? What was the beginning of it?
Oh man, too many bad haircuts. My mom taking
me. That'll do it.
Right? So as a kid, always having short hair, never getting a haircut I liked. And my mom just taking me with her to get her hair done. And we would leave looking the same, both 75, which no, again, you know, no, nothing against 75-year-olds, but it just wasn't what I wanted. And so I know what it's like to leave an appointment crying and upset because it just isn't what you wanted. So I started hacking away at my own hair. And then eventually my friends are like, hey, that looks like fun. So then I was hacking away at everybody's hair. And honestly, it was hacking, okay? I didn't know what I was doing. Literally just had an X-Acto knife from my dad's garage. And I know. So I have razoring cuts, you know? And my neighbor, who's been my neighbor since I was 6, bought me my first pair of scissors when I was in grade 10. And my first professional pair. And then I started cutting her husband's hair. And I was like, hey, you know what? Like, this is something I like. And yeah, so I decided to go to school. I actually originally wanted to be an accountant, which is hilarious because don't look at my taxes.
I was going to say, pretty sure the numbers aren't doing that great.
No, that's not for me. So
I love that your neighbor got involved in that. That is so sweet.
Women empowering women.
Oh, I love it. I definitely can relate to the mom and the haircuts.
Yeah.
I have curly hair, as you know. My mom would brush my hair.
Oh, man. And,
like, think it was, like, smoothing it out. Like, no, let's not do that.
No. Welcome to triangle head.
Yeah. Although I never took an X-Acto knife to my hair, so.
Hey, I got compliments on it, okay? It's like the DIY that you wish you had.
After you went to school, how did you get your start in your career?
So I went to school at Blanche McDonald in Vancouver, and I actually had a teacher that I worked with. We got along really well, and she set me up an interview at the salon that I apprenticed at when I came back to Calgary. And so I had never heard of the salon, which when I look back now was quite silly because it was probably one of the most popular salons at the time in Calgary. And I started my apprenticeship there. I had an interview. The most humbling thing ever was walking in there to my interview and the owner telling me, you don't know how to cut shape.
Oh.
He's like, you can texturize, but you don't know how to do shape. And I was like, oh, that's a bit right to the ego. But it was great because it just brings you down a level. As most people, when you come out of school, you're a little hot-headed. So I had so much growth out of the place I apprenticed out of. And I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for Ross Hahn and Anthony. So thanks.
Aww.
Yeah.
And what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Boundaries. Honestly, boundaries and that hair isn't, doing hair isn't just playing with hair. There's so much more in that goes along with my job that I think is the reason why a lot of people drop out, because it's just managing expectations, managing people, how to protect yourself emotionally, not take things personally, yet still try to be creative. It was definitely hard. But very thankful. It's a job I can do so many different things with.
I think as a hairstylist, most people don't realize that, yes, there's the art behind it and the creativity, but you do have to wear a lot of hats. And it's one of those things that you either can do or you can't. And I think it separates the great hairstylists from those that are mediocre.
Yeah, totally.
Agreed.
I would agree with you. That's probably one of my biggest complaints with some clients that come in is just a really good consultation. And then also realizing when you're not a good fit. That was something I had to learn, was being like, again, a boundary, being like, this isn't going to work out. I know somebody who's great for you. And then just knowing that it's not a personal thing. If they didn't like your haircut, it just wasn't what they wanted. And that doesn't make you a bad hairstylist.
You just weren't the one for them.
No.
And that's okay.
That is okay. Yeah.
When did you decide you wanted to go solo? And was there like this aha moment, or was it a buildup of things?
I went to a behind the chair conference in San Antonio, Texas, probably, I think it was 2018. And just seeing all the different people there and all the possibilities, and there was this whole world, this whole community of hairstylists that I just was isolated from where, just because of where I was working, it was quite, it was a bit of a bubble. So just going to this big hair show, and I've been to tons before, but mostly like Aveda or L'Oreal shows, and this was the first one that had so many different brands, and I realized that I had so many opportunities to pursue my own identity in the industry, and I had accomplished all I could accomplish where I was, and realized it for several reasons. It was just time to go and do my own thing and just kind of find myself again and what, find my passion, why I love doing this job, just get back to the roots of it.
Love it. Yeah. It was an aha moment.
Yeah.
A little bit of a build up, but more of like a build up, and then you went somewhere and you realized, oh crap.
That was it. I remember flying home on the plane, writing notes and just being like, this is it, I'm done. And what was really awesome is I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what to do, but I had a really good friend of mine that I worked with who had left previously and doing her own solo thing. And she had sent me District's Instagram page, and I hadn't seen it. And I saw Anita, and I loved the brand, and there was this instant connection. And I was like, fuck it. Sorry.
No.
Yeah. I was like,
I don't care.
No, we're all good.
Yeah, we're all good. Yeah.
So
I need to thank your friend, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, she totally pointed.
Fate.
It was fate, actually. And honestly, the first time you, Anita, and I met, we talked about how much we loved curry for like a half an hour, even though we were supposed to be doing
a tour.
And it was instant love. And I could feel your energy, and you were an empowering woman. And
okay, stop.
No, but I just, this relationship we have, it really showed me that I was making the right choice.
Aww. Yeah. I'm glad that we talked about curry and not the tour then. And that's what made you come in, because you are a friend. Yeah. It's not just a member, you're a friend.
No, thanks.
So your first year being solo, it was a whirlwind, to say the least. For those of you that are not aware, we had opened up District Studios January 2020 with a bang. We had the best grand opening. Everyone was on a high. And as we were coming down from this high, we were also mandated to close in March. So can you talk a little bit more about where you were in your career, specifically in March 2020, and how everything that happened following that kind of impacted?
So, 2020 being first year operating my own business, I worked my ass off, and I'm thankful that I did. It was a little crazy, but I didn't really take any weekends for the first 3 months, and by the time March actually rolled around, I was really burnt out. And I was planning on taking 2 weeks off in April anyways. And then all of a sudden this happened, and it was a bit of a blessing because I needed the time off. That created a whole bunch of other issues, like because the uncertainty and not knowing what was happening. But I was quite thankful that it happened because it told me to slow down, and you need to slow down to speed up. So it was, and it just showed me a lot that priorities, balance, you can't just throw yourself. I mean, the first year of business, you have to really just devote yourself to it, and you kind of just take it on the chin. But it was definitely a well-used time off.
I think in the middle of it, as we were going through it, it was like, oh, crap, what's going on? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. It was so unknown.
Yeah.
There was a lot of scariness to it.
Yeah.
But looking back, I'm like, oh, I wish I took that time. Because when, as an adult, do you have 2 or 3 months off and
with some
to do nothing and being able to like actually focus on you and whatever, your family or your personal situation and not have to worry about, as we laugh at that, not have to worry about work and being so consumed about work.
It just brought you back to the present.
Yeah.
So it was definitely
financially scary, I'm sure.
To watch your hard earned, but the thing is, because I worked my butt off, I remember my mother telling me, "You're working too much." And I said to her, "Business is never guaranteed." And that was in January. Wow. And sure enough, it wasn't. Shut down. And because I worked so hard and my money's my money now, I was okay. It's scary to watch your savings go.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was a blessing in disguise. Yeah.
So despite the challenges that 2020 had on your career, we've talked many times, like I had said, we are more friends than members, mm-hmm. That it was actually one of your best years financially for you. So we were closed for 3 to 4 months out of the 9 months or 12 months in total.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that if you're comfortable?
Of course. Yeah. So yeah, we were closed. Yeah. 3 months and then over Christmas for 6.
Which is the busiest yes. time of our career.
Which, I mean, having some time off. Yeah. Having some time off of Christmas is always nice. Financially, I kicked ass. Okay. But I worked my ass off. But it wasn't until I was like, kind of getting my taxes ready for the end of the year to really see those numbers come in and to see that, oh, wow, okay, I'm okay. And that was really nice to just kind of tell myself. I was like, okay, this was the right choice. And that allowed me to have some more breathing room and some more flexibility. With COVID, it did make it hard to have life balance because you kind of had to take it when you could because you never knew if you were going to have a job the next month. So that was an interesting dance between work and personal time. But financially, yeah, no, I definitely made over 6 figures, which I was not doing at my last job. So it was, yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. Like being, like when you think about it, like you're not making money for 3 to 4 months. That's, yeah. You know, 8, 9 months mm-hmm. out of the, or sorry, yeah, 8, 9 months out of the year that you are making an income.
Yep.
The rest you weren't. And when you're not,
yep.
guess what you're taking? You're taking from the savings.
You're spending.
So yeah. It's incredible to see that even with the hardships that 2020 brought, you were still so incredibly successful
yep.
that you know that when you have a full 12 months of
yeah.
the ability to work, that hopefully, let's cross mm-hmm. our fingers here,
yep.
That you can actually slow down and not work as hard
yeah.
and still have the same right. results.
So that was what I was running into, were issues with coming back to work and not slamming your book full of people. I know as a service provider and hairstylist, it's kind of an ego booster to tell people how slammed you are. It's this weird badge of honor that you like to carry around. But as I've realized, there is no badge of honor for being busy. Because busy usually means you don't have time for all the other things in your life. And what I realized being at home and not at work during COVID was there's more to me than my job. And the less time I spend at my job, the more time I want to be at my job. So, yeah.
You did a lot of growth, I think.
Oh my gosh.
One of the... when I look back at the members from January 2020 to now we're in March 2021, I think that growth, not necessarily financially or in your career, but personally,
yeah.
as a person, the growth that you've done has just been incredible.
It's giving me butterflies just thinking about it.
So what do you think helped aided in your growth? You hustled hard and you
yeah.
already said that. So I think that kind of answered that question there, but it's easy to think going from as an employee and having that income that's almost guaranteed
yep.
to going on your own is really scary.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could give advice to somebody wanting a similar career to yours,
yep.
what would you say?
So I've had friends reach out who are like, "Hey, I want to do what you do. I want to go on my own." All different experience levels. My number one advice, my advice to you is take your book, take your clients, cut it in half. Can you support yourself on 50% of what you make already?
Love that.
And if you can, then do it. If you can't, then you're not ready. And there's nothing wrong with not being ready. Even though I am a solo studio, I think there's a huge benefit to working in a salon. I think they're very important. Most people can't come straight out of school and go right into solo. You need to have a clientele, and I think we've noticed some people who are maybe not be as successful because their book wasn't ready for it, because you will lose clients. What was really nice was to see the people that followed me, who believed in me, especially because my style now is so much more authentic, whereas before where I was working, it was under somebody else's brand. So really, you're never ready, honestly. You kind of just have to take the leap. You will be shitting your pants the entire time. But if you literally do the numbers, cut it in half, and you can afford it, I say do it. Also, get a partner. If you can't handle it, find somebody to do it with, because sometimes it's less scary if you have somebody there going through the same thing as you. And I've had 4 or 5... ex-colleagues that have also made the jump and are doing very well. So if you're ready, go for it.
I like that advice. See what it's like if you have 50%.
Cut your business in half.
And see if you're able to survive. If you can't, you're not ready.
No.
And I totally agree. I think people are so easy to jump the gun on being solo.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I learned in our first year was we will not take anyone who has not been in the industry for a certain amount of years.
Yep.
And who hasn't been at least a year, really.
Yep. Yep.
Because if you haven't had that full year, you just don't have a book of business. And
no.
And how we don't want people to, we don't want to set people up for failure.
Yep.
We want to set them up for success.
So being a business owner brings a whole new set of skills that you have to learn, a whole other side to your job that you didn't have to worry about. So if you were coming into your own studio and you're still worrying about building a book, building your skills as a hairstylist, you're still developing behind the chair skills that are really still fundamental, it makes it really hard for you to also then have to go home and do behind the business stuff. And so that's why I think it's really important to make sure that behind the chair you're secure, you have a foundation, you're comfortable. I'm not saying you can't grow and educate and keep doing that things, but you need to be really quite secure with yourself. Have that clientele so you can tackle all the business, because it's very overwhelming. It's not as glamorous as you think it is. It's been quite an eye-opener. something I've always wanted, but, oh, sorry, I just kicked the camera. Something I've always wanted, but so much new
skills that you have to like hone in on.
Yeah, it's been a ride.
It's not just working behind the chair. You're now having to, now you're the receptionist, and
yeah.
You're also the accountant and the financier.
Totally.
And all the things,
managing
supply
your book. Yes.
Orders and all the, those fun things that we don't think about.
No,
you now have to do.
No, I often laugh and I'm like, wait, where are the towels? Oh yeah, it's my job.
I have to do the laundry.
Yes.
Shoot.
Shout out to everybody, all the apprentices that used to work with me who kept the salon running, and I appreciate you and I love you, because I do miss that.
What's been your biggest failure in the last year, and why do you think that happened?
So last year, 2020, was probably the craziest year I've ever had, not only because I had a new job, I was in a new career, but I had my whole entire life implode, and it was the biggest failure and the biggest success all at the same time. And what I like to say is, when everything explodes and you have nothing in your life anymore, you open up so much room to everything else. And so I had a 15-year relationship end. I had my dog put down. I left a toxic work environment, started my new business, had a lot of relationships, interpersonal relationships with friends and family end or start again. So I was really lost, especially in the summertime, on top of COVID. But what it really taught me was a whole bunch of new skills. And I'm so thankful for all of that that came into my life, because it taught me a whole bunch more about myself. It pushed me in directions that were uncomfortable. And I learned that when things are uncomfortable, just lean into it. And things are happening in your life to show you
Something else,
teach you new things. Honestly, the people that upset us the most can be our greatest teachers. And I learned so much about that.
And what's been your biggest success in the last year? And why do you think that happened?
It was just like, yeah, having all of that blow up really showed me a lot more about myself. And I think you noticed that after the summer, I kind of did a lot of personal growth and just finding myself again. It's amazing that even being in a relationship for 15 years, you lose yourself, being in a work environment that tells you things that aren't true about yourself. You get a lot of self-doubt, and I think a lot of us can relate to that. what I've learned is you need to surround yourself with empowering people and having empowering relationships. And that was something I didn't know. I was never taught that, and communicating. And so now I'm still quite good friends with my ex, but we actually have a better relationship now than we used to. I have a better work environment than we used to. My parental relationship's much better. Sometimes you need to descend into the ashes and just scorch earth everything, and then realize you're like, okay, let's start again. Yeah. Start over, start stronger, wiser.
I'm a very big believer that you are who you associate yourself with. And that's, you know, the whole premise of District. So we're a community, we're a supportive community. It's hard to be not successful when you're around people who are like pushing you to that. And
yes,
I am that to you sometimes.
No, you are though. That's exactly what I needed, was somebody who believes in you, for you, lets you be you, not putting you in a box, not putting myself in a box, and just creating opportunity to really go in any direction and just go with it, just be fluid. Life is fluid. I'm fluid.
And now we're back.
Yeah.
If I could remove all barriers and constraints, what project would you do? And would you want to be known only by that project? So what project would you do first?
So this is a tough one, because
I was excited for this for you, because I know what we've talked about.
Right.
And so I just wanted to see what that one project would be.
So at my last job, I was an educator, and I worked with a lot the apprentices. And teaching people really taught me a lot about myself, and it taught me about communicating, and it taught me about seeing people as people, not as objects. It's not about power or hierarchy, and just sharing information. I really love sharing and connecting. I love empowering people. So when you ask me about a project, I mean, yeah, there's little things like I would love to have a podcast and just talk about people, empowering people, especially in our industry, because there's so many dark corners of our industry, especially, that are totally unacceptable. And generally, any problems you see in culture, it also happens in hairstyling. I would love to talk about that. I would love to educate kids. Honestly, I don't want my own kids, but our kids and I really connect. But what I want more is to be known for how I made you feel. And my clients love me because they feel like I hear them and I make them feel good. And that's what I want to be known for. I don't want to be known for like a big brand, or I don't want to be famous, but I just want to leave my guests and the people around me feeling good.
What I love about, and I always go to through it, is your Instagram, where you let your clients that have long hair and they decide that they want to chop it, you like empower them to cut their own hair. And I just, it's like, just even as a viewer, it's like, yes, I want to do this. Let's do it.
Yes.
And just, I can only imagine what the person feels.
Yeah, it's liberating, honestly. Yeah. And how many people ever get to chop all their hair off? I mean, it's supervised, so it's recoverable. But I just think that is such a great experience to just help people find their identity and how they express that through their outward appearance in their hair. And whether that's your feminine energy, masculine energy, your circle, square, triangle energy, whatever that is, that's what I want to help you explore and to express.
Love it. And what do you wish you had known 10 years ago? So you are the big 30.
I am 30.
So as you turned 20, what do you wish you had known? It does not have to be industry related, but what do you wish you had known?
Honestly, nothing lasts forever. And that what I've learned is, because nothing lasts forever, you appreciate the present. And I spent so much time worrying about the future and sad about the past that I just wasn't really present in the moment. And I look back at my 20s, and I had so much opportunity to do some other things, but I was so in my head about it that I don't regret it, honestly, because going through that has taught me a lot. But yeah.
Well, there's growth from your 20s to your 30s for sure.
Yeah.
But I do think that in our society, we do, we're so concerned about the future. It's like you're 20, you need to get, you know, find a boyfriend and get married and by your 27. Yes. And there's just all, and have a career and make money and you have to be, you know, a millionaire by your 35. And it's like all of these constraints. Yes. And you're like, you're always looking forward rather than just being like, I'm 20, let's have fun.
Yeah.
Let me say yes to things that I normally wouldn't because I'm scared about what other people would think. I think for me too, like there was huge growth from my 20s to my 30s. And even in my 30s, it's like,
still
freaking love my 30s. Like, I don't give a shit about anything, about what anyone thinks about me. It's like, I'm me and I'm authentically me. And if you don't like it, not my problem.
No, and I don't think I would have been ready to deal with that in my 20s. I admire those who are like that in their 20s.
I think very few are, though.
Very few. And a lot of times it's kind of fake it till you make it, which to me has never been an authentic thing. So I've always looked back in my 20s and been like, man, shoulda, woulda, coulda, but it's just not helpful.
It wasn't, no.
No.
Exactly. If you could give Tori the advice 5 years ago, what would it be?
Oh, man.
I know it's kind of the same, but different.
If I can give her advice, I would say, listen to your body. What is your body telling you? What is your brain telling you? What is your heart telling you? Because I didn't listen. My body was telling me that I needed to change. I needed to find an environment that was empowering and loving and more of my... of an environment that let me be more authentically me, and that ended up in a lot of mental health and physical health issues, which, I mean, if you don't have to go through that, that's great, but I would probably say, listen to your body.
And this is just like a fun question. Yeah. House, studio, car, which do you clean first?
Okay. So studio always, because everybody's in my studio. So, I mean... hair is going to get everywhere. So there's some things that aren't going to be that clean, but yeah, I clean it all the time. Now, then I would go with my house, which certain things get done all the time. But I grew up in a relationship with somebody who was very on my ass about having a clean car. So
I get that a lot,
right? I know.
I'm totally with that.
Yes. So I'm on my third car now, and this car gets vacuumed all the time. It gets washed all the time.
I'm impressed.
Yes.
I have to admit, my car, for having a four-year-old that goes in my car all the time, and I basically live in my car, it's not that bad. No. But if Matt, my husband, went into the car, he would tell you a different story.
Oh, of course.
Dust
on the dash.
He's my personal detailer. So the car is definitely, like, not even just last. It's, like, not even on my list. If I'm going to clean something, it's definitely not my car.
No, you got priorities.
Yeah.
And that's not it.
Well, thank you so much, Tori.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's been such a, thanks for just hanging out and getting to know me and letting me talk about myself.